I struggled with this week, and whether or not, with what we see happening in our world right now, with the conflicts and things going on in the Middle East, if this is the way we should go. And I wrestled with it, and I kept asking the Lord about it. And I felt that where He wanted us to go is to learn these gifts so we can apply them to our lives, so that we can use them in our church, so that we can be successful for Him. But when we see what's happening to us and what's happening around us, we understand that the end is getting close. Now, I know everybody's saying, yeah, everybody's been saying that forever. Well, we just had a tornado in Michigan. Killed 6 people. One of the reasons that is out there is because, well, they're always giving us warnings and nothing ever happens. So nobody took it seriously, especially in March. And 6 people died. There's warning signs that are out there for us. And we need to pay attention to them, and we see them. And we need to realize that God's time clock is definitely winding down. So I thought, well, maybe we, you know, what does the Lord want? Well, except for the fact that the players that we see on the stage right now are different than we had before, it shows us how close time is. So I said, you know, what do we do here? What should we do? And with that being said, I sensed that the Lord was saying, you know what? No, it's important. Learn the gifts I've given you. Use them now like never before so that you're equipped and so that you're found working and serving when I come back. We don't know when He's coming back. Do you want to have Him find you messing around, flitting around, doing your own thing, and all of a sudden, boom, here He comes? Or do you want Him to find you working and serving and doing what He wants, a part of everything else that you do? That's our choice. And so we need to realize that He wants us equipped. He wants us to know. Now, I didn't have an outline this morning for a reason. I will, at the end of this, give you a sheet with all the different motivation gifts that we're going to learn, all the different aspects of them, so that you can take them, study them, you'll have them, you can review them, and then you'll be able to help discern what it is that God has gifted you to do. So as we begin to look specifically at spiritual gifts that are given to us by the Holy Spirit, given to every Christian, you're not going to get one until you're a Christian. I want to start with this list that's found here in Romans, where we had our scripture reading. Here we find a list of gifts that are given to us, and from these are kind of like the root gifts. Well, we are calling them, they are the motivational gifts of the Spirit. Out of these and from these, the other gifts will operate through this. Okay? You're going to have every one of us has one motivational gift. I said before that we probably have more than one spiritual gift. We have one motivational gift. We're going to have other different types of serving gifts or ministry gifts that will be used through your motivation, through the motivational gift that God has given you. Each one of us has one of these. And we may have more than one, as I said, service or ministry gift. But the motivational gifts are the key. They are the foundation for which every other gift will operate. And as we go through here, you're going to see how important it is for families especially. Because I'll tell you what, it clears up a lot of family messes when you look at this. And when you learn what the motivational gifts are. And when you learn how they operate. And when you learn what they look like when you're walking with the Lord and what they look like when you're not. And you see the conflicts that they cause. And as I've gone back through this and was studying this, I was reawakened to that. Yeah, this is where so many misunderstandings come from. In communication, in homes, in between family members, husbands and wives, kids and whatever. And it's so important for us to learn this. God did this for a reason, so that we would have that harmony. How we respond, how we react, how we accept challenges are all done through your motivational gift that God has given you. And so as a result, a good question that we have to ask ourselves as we begin to see which one of these is do I have, is what motivates me about situations that I'm in. When I'm in a situation, what motivates me to do something? You kind of look at yourself and ask yourself, you know, what motivates me when I see the things around me? What stirs in my spirit? What stirs in my heart about these things? In Romans 12, verse 6, Paul says, according to the grace given to us, that's all of us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. So the first motivational gift is that of the prophet. Now, certain things come to your mind when you hear the word prophet, don't they? There's different things that flash in front of you. The gift of prophecy, though, has changed tremendously from the Old Testament, from what it is today in modern times. Usually, when people hear the word prophecy or prophet, what do they think about? Somebody who's predicting the future. They're going to tell us what's going to happen. You know, John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, gave insight into what was going on in the future. Daniel, when he wrote the book of Daniel, told us the things God specifically gave him. These are the things that are going to happen. The timelines that are in Daniel, follow them. Because you're going to find out on those timelines where we are today in our lives and in our situations and where our world is in a relationship to Daniel's timelines. So this is just a very small part of what that gift is foretelling the future. More accurately, today when we hear the word prophecy or a prophet, we shouldn't think about foretelling the future. You say, well, I want that gift. I want to be the prophet. No, it's not about that anymore. It's about forthtelling or telling it like it is. It's what a prophet does. He's not concerned about your feelings, whether it's going to make you feel good or feel bad. He realizes that this is going to benefit your life, this is going to help you grow, and this is the way it is. And so that's what they're going to do. In other words, they deliver a message from God, proclaiming his truth. Now, that's not to say that God, you know, the prophet gets, you know, in the corner and God's given him a special revelation to help make his work go and they're getting afraid. No, the revelation is complete. The Bible's complete. So what the prophet does today with the motivational gift is to make clear what God's will is. Sharing insights into the meaning of his word for us so that we live according to what God wants. They're motivated by that. That's what motivates them. I need to get this message out. I need to get the word out. I need to help people understand. I need to help them see how they can grow. I need to see how God's word will help in their life and in their family situation and in their ministry or whatever they're doing. They have that motivation. Prophets instructed and warned and exhorted, promised and rebuked. And there are many mentions of prophet in the Bible, of course. The Old Testament is full of different prophets. You have your major prophets that wrote. You have your minor prophets that wrote, telling people what God wanted them to and what God expected. They had to do that. They didn't have the finished Bible yet. So God had to speak through them. They had to share what God was saying so that the message would come through the gift of the prophet. Now, the New Testament mentions the prophet in different roles. The first time it's mentioned is in Acts chapter 11, where there's this guy named Agabus, and he comes down and he predicts that there's a famine that's going to come. And guess what? A famine came. Another time Agabus shows up, took Paul's belt, says the owner of this belt is going to suffer, be arrested, and on. And it happened. You see, a true prophet has to be 100% right every time. Get one thing wrong, you're a false prophet. God set that standard. One thing wrong, you're a false prophet. And so those prophets then spoke what God said, and it happened. Read through the Old Testament, read through the prophets, read through the major and the minor prophets, and you can see that. So today, though, the prophet is a person who speaks the word of God, making its message clear, making its message applicable to your daily life. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone who preaches, because that's a good place where the gift of the prophet is used in the pastor teacher. Doesn't mean that they all have the motivational gift of the prophet. You could have the motivational gift of mercy and be a pastor and preach. Your messages would come across more with a merciful note, but still with truth, or with the service gift, or with the gift of giving, or with the gift of exhorting. Those make great evangelist speakers, you know, with the gift of exhortation, the motivational gift. You would be doing this through your motivational gift. The person with this gift, the gift of the prophet, has the ability, though, to see consequences for decisions that are made. So if you don't know that you have this gift, people in your family don't know you have this gift, and you see somebody getting ready to make a decision, and you may be saying, hey, I wouldn't do that. I'd be very careful with that. You need, and they're like, what are you buttoning my life for? What do you know about this? They have a sense that God gives them that there's a consequence that's there. You know, choices people may want to make, they have a sensitivity on whether it's going to, whether it's a good thing or not a good thing. And so this person may caution you, even in simple little things, you see it come across. They may warn you, not because they can see the future, but they warn you because they know what the Bible says, and they want what happens to you to be good so that you don't ignore it. And that goes down not just to spiritual things, but even other things, you know, in life. Be careful what you do here, because you could have a problem with this. The problem is that people look at them, the one with this gift, and they feel, well, they're just insensitive, instead of realizing that they may have a point. Think about the difference that makes in a relationship. If you're married to a prophet, or if you have a prophet in your family, and you think, man, they're just always so insensitive. Maybe on the other hand, they have a point. And we got to listen. And we got to see. That's why you need to discover, is this mine? And let people in your family know, this is what motivates me. Now, the motive of a person with this motivational gift is to protect and to see people saved. They want to protect. Romans 12:6 mentions that, according to that grace. Who's it given by? God. To us. We have different gifts of prophecy, then use it according to the standard of the faith that you have. So always keep in mind, your motivational gift is the underlying drive that pushes you. That really, you know, like I said, when you look at a situation, it moves you to, well, I want to do something here, see something happen. It motivates you to action. The key to remember is that when you serve the Lord and you work in some area of the church or organization, when you see and you use your gift, when you're in the Spirit using your gift, you'll have a maximum effectiveness with very little weariness. Somebody who's serving where they're not gifted, it's going to be a struggle. They're going to work. They're going to serve. They're going to do okay. But man, it just wipes them right out. But when you're serving where you're gifted motivationally, you can serve and give and do and work, and it doesn't wipe you out, doesn't tear you down, doesn't make you tired. You'll be fired up to get things accomplished with lots of spiritual energy. When you start to learn about these motivational gifts, you may have some tendencies or characteristics of more than one. So we're just looking at the first one. Next week we'll look at the next one. You say, well, I have a little bit of tendency here, I have a little bit of tendency with this one, I have a little bit of tendency in this one, but one of those is going to stand out as major. And it's going to be the one that you have the most tendencies in and the most drive in. One will come out as dominant. So we're going to find the following things out as we go through these gifts. What are we going to find out? Well, first, the underlying drive and the motivation that will give you the greatest contentment. You'll have great contentment serving when you're gifted in that area. And then you're going to find out why people respond to you the way they do. And that goes a long ways in our relationships. Why do people react to me like that? You're going to, when you understand your gift, and you understand why people, then you're going to say, oh, that's why, because they're not understanding what my gift is. You know, you're going to learn why people misunderstand and why you act the way you do when you're out of the Spirit, because, boy, that's really obvious. When you're out of the Spirit, your gift is really going to show, because the traits that are going to be there. And it's also going to show what you act like when you're living in the Spirit. Now, the goal is what? Be living in the Spirit. Paul tells us that in Galatians 5. He says, you know, but be walking in the Spirit, and you're not going to be falling into these different areas of life. So when you're faced with a situation, ask yourself, is this the way I feel, or does this motivate me? Does this really, you know, push my button? Keep in mind, the prophet must, and this is a key for a prophet, they must express truth. They got to express truth. That's they can't keep quiet about it. They have to express truth. And their thoughts also, along with their attitudes, verbally. They need to do it verbally. That's a must. They have to do that. They do this especially in matters of right and wrong. They have a deep desire to express, this is right, let's do it. This is wrong, get away from it. You see, you can see how this can cause problems when someone doesn't recognize your gift. This happens in marriages especially, and in families, in churches, where people work together. If you don't know what a person's gift is, and you see this gift working, whether in or out of the Spirit, you're going to perceive them differently and wonder, what is up with them? Why they always got to be talking about this? Why they always got to be saying something? Prophet has a motivation to do that. You know, each motivational gift that we look at also is going to have a corresponding person in Scripture that demonstrates that gift, so that we can see what was their life like. How did they operate? What did they do? And we can get an idea from them. For the prophet, the one who demonstrates that in Scripture would be Peter. Peter always had to talk. He always had to say something. He always was in on something. He was always there. He was always a part of that. Peter always felt the need to speak, you know, which often got him in trouble. So let's look at some of the characteristics of this gift of prophecy, the prophet, not prophecy, but the prophet, and see if you can identify some of your tendencies, some of the things in your life. Again, Peter always felt the need to speak. Prophet has a need to speak. They're always verbalizing, especially truth. Their thoughts and their attitudes are going to come out verbally. That's what they do. Peter spoke more often than none of the other disciples in the Gospels. He was always their spokesman, and he was the one that would get, you know, would be out there in front. Another characteristic of this is that there's a tendency in the prophet to make quick judgments on what is seen and what's heard, and to speak quickly toward them. Peter did that. He spoke first more than any of the other disciples. He was the one that had the motivational gift of the prophet. So a person with this gift throws all their effort into whatever they're doing. Peter again shows this tendency, always being the one has to give his 2 cents worth. You know, whether anybody wanted it or not, he's talking, he's going to share, he's going to give that. And much of the time, he was right. But sometimes when he got out of the Spirit, he was totally wrong, totally backwards to what he wanted to be. The prophet has a hard time keeping quiet because of the need to express themselves, especially in the area of right and wrong. So you look at, who's the one walking on water? Peter. Why? Because he shot his mouth off. He was the one that was out there. Well, if that's you, then you tell me to come out there. He probably didn't have any idea Jesus was going to say, come on. But he did, and what did Peter do? He got out and he did it. And he was doing all right until he got out of the Spirit. And that's when he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Another thing that a prophet has is the ability to sense when someone or something is not what it appears to be. They kind of see through the shell, the cover, the mask. This isn't right. This isn't what it should be. This isn't, it sounds good, but no, there's something wrong here. And so God puts this gift in the church because the prophet can sense insincerity or when somebody's trying to take advantage of someone else. The problem with this gift is that they often are harsh in pointing it out, that wrong that's being done. And they quickly express their feelings and their motives. We'll see some cautions for this person in with this gift in just a bit. But the bottom line is that a prophet deals with issues and sometimes shows little tact. But that's not an excuse to go around blowing people out of the water. You have to have tact. There's also an openness about personal faults and failures, dishonesty about themselves. You know, Peter fell at Jesus' feet and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." You didn't see any of the others doing that. You know, the prophet does want their life to be doing right because they understand the consequences of disobedience. You know, they have a tendency to be painfully direct when they're correcting friends or family members. Painfully direct. People don't a lot of times like being confronted directly, do they? The prophet sees consequences for the decisions ahead, and they want to warn you, and they don't really take the time to check your feelings. They just, be careful, don't do that. Don't go there. You go there anyways, and you crash and burn. You say, maybe I should listen to what they had to say. So they try to correct the decision, not someone's feelings or attitudes. That's something they don't consider much. They just want to consider the decision. Change your mind. Do something different. Approach it in a different way. You know, because of their motivation to pursue right and wrong, they're often seen as insensitive by people. And they don't, people say, well, they just don't understand. They just don't understand. It's not that they don't understand. They're operating through that gift that God gave them. And so when you begin to know your gift and say that your gift, say the gift of your spouse, if you're married, you know and understand it, you can better understand why they act the way they do, why they come across the way they do. That's why it's so important to see this. It's not that they're maybe having adverse feelings toward you. Maybe it's because they had shared something quickly and you responded in a way because you didn't understand where they're coming from. You know, the prophet, remember, has a need to protect and to help a person from going in the wrong direction. Think about a parent that would have this gift. They need to be careful because their directness toward the subject and the life of a family member can wound the spirit of another person, especially if that person has the gift of mercy. They're easily wounded by the prophet. But if they understand that this is a gift that this parent has, they understand what their gift is, they're not going to take it personally. They're going to say, I would like to react like this, but maybe as they are responding to me, I should listen to what they have to say. The prophet says, you need to change. You need to correct this or that. Get it right and you'll be okay. Person with a gift of mercy, shocked at the directness. Oh, wow. You know, does he have to be so blunt? Well, yeah, he does, because that's, or he or she, because that's the way it is. Person with a gift of service may feel rejected and out of the picture when the prophet expresses things. That's why we need to know, and that's why we need to understand each other's gifts and why we need to act in love and in the Spirit in all occasions. The prophet is bottom line person. Don't bore them with details. They just want to protect and keep you from making mistakes. The problem is that others sometimes don't think they care because of the way they come across. They care deeply, and they want to do what's right. The opposite is that that caring comes across sometimes in a strong way. And if you're not expecting that, you're going to be offended by it. But if you know what their gift is, and if you know what your gift is, it makes a whole lot different in a relationship. And then there's a desire to give open evidence of loyalty. You know, this person is very loyal, very loyal. You want them on your team. Even if you're dead wrong, they're going to protect you, and they're going to want to be there for you. The prophet has a loyal devotion. And even though Peter, he denied Jesus three times, he was the only one that went into the enemy's headquarters to see what was happening and going on. He got out of the Spirit. One of the things in out of the Spirit for the prophet, he denied that he knew him. And then he got into problems with that. But that was corrected through Jesus' forgiveness, through Peter's willingness to repent and willing to seek forgiveness and to have that corrected. And then they have an ability, their gift of prophet has the ability to be persuasive in defining what's right and what's wrong. They can define that very well. The person with this gift is motivated by an inner commitment to the person or persons that they're involved with because they're loyal. They're committed to you. They want to see you succeed. They want to see you make it right. They want to see it happen. And so they're just going to tell you bottom line the way it goes. You're going to have to fill in your feelings and all these other things on your own. The prophet looks for evidence right now. It's right now. And they want to correct the problem right now. The person with the gift of mercy, as you're going to learn, may say about a situation, well, let's just sit back and take some time. Let's look at this. What could we might be able to do for a solution here? The prophet says, no, we need to do it. It needs to be done right now, because if we don't, it's going to continue to get worse, and there's going to be problems. So as with all motivational gifts, there's always two sides to the coin. When you're walking in obedience, and you're walking in the Spirit, and when you get out of the Spirit, there's obvious things that are going to stand out. Walking in your own strength, doing your own thing. Every gift has this danger. Every gift needs to be lived in the Spirit, but there's dangers when it's lived out of the Spirit. Because just because you get out of the Spirit doesn't mean your gift goes away. You still have your gift, and you're still going to do what the tendencies of that gift are, only in the wrong way. So after all, the enemy is going to try to make anything good that God does, he's going to try and corrupt it. He's going to try and mess it up. He's going to try and get in there. He's constantly doing that in your own personal life. He's doing that with family life. He does that with marriages. He does that with all things. Tries to get in there and divide and conquer and separate and isolate and do all those kinds of things. So after all, that's what the enemy does. So here's a caution. A person with this gift who is walking in the flesh can devastate people. The prophet can devastate their children, can devastate their wife, can devastate their husband, can devastate the whole family. That's why in families it's so important to know your gift and those in your household so that you understand it. Take the dad, for example. A wise dad walking in the Spirit with this gift would correct a son like this. Here's just an example. Son, I see something in your life, and I think we need to talk about. And let me tell you what God says about this problem. You see, that's walking in the Spirit, doing things spiritually, doing things that God wants so that we understand them. And so, you see what happened there if a father responds that way? Do you see what just happened? He transfers the authority from himself to God. So now it's not dad telling me what to do. All of a sudden it's God. Hey, God has an interest in this. God has an interest in your life. God's going to deal with this. For a dad walking in the flesh, he may approach the son with a criticism, blowing him away, blowing him out of the water, not following the way the Lord works. He's going to bring judgment down on your head. You know, just unleashes all kinds of stuff. There's a difference, isn't there? The relationship is strained. Problems continue to get worse, and that's not a good thing. So let's just quickly look at what does a person with the gift of the prophet look like when they're walking in the Spirit? Excuse me. What do they do? How do they act? And again, you know, don't elbow somebody if you're sitting there and you think they might have that gift, because your gift is coming. They're going to turn around and elbow you about this. You know, this is very eye-opening, and I would trust and hope that you would commit to it, to learn it, because it will change the dynamics in your family. It'll change the dynamics in how you relate. First of all, in the Spirit, there are some distinct things that they do. As we mentioned, that the prophet is very committed to truth, very committed to truth. They expect it from others, they seek it, they live it, they speak it. Secondly, obedience. This underlies all their decisions that they make, is obedience to God, regardless of what others think. They don't care if everybody else is against it. If God says it, they're standing for it, it doesn't matter. That's the way it is. They have a sincerity. And they're very committed to what he or she believes, and they speak it from the heart sincerely. They have to speak it from the heart because they're motivated to do that. They serve out of sincerity. They have a virtue in their life. Their life, their mind, their being, they speak and walk in the Spirit so they can be used by God. They know that if they're being that way and obedient, God will use them. They're forgiving in their spirit. They have a persuasiveness. Now, that sounds like a nice person, doesn't it? But there's another side to that coin. What are they like when they are out of the Spirit and when they're not walking the way God wants? First of all, they're very deceptive. Very deceptive, as opposed to being truthful. They are willfully rebellious. They can be dictatorial, wanting their own way, domineering. They want to hear no one else but their own way. And you can see how that would be hard to live with when they're out of the Spirit. They often have impure thoughts when they're out of the Spirit, attitudes, because they're concerned with purity and rightness. What's the opposite of that? The enemy is going to try and dump on them thoughts that they don't want. The devil knows this, and he does his best to get the prophet out of the Spirit. They're also going to have a fearfulness and anxiety because they're afraid of what's going to happen. That's always the what-if question, not the what-is. We should really be asking what is, not what if. They tend to have hypocrisy when they're not living for the Lord the way they should. There's a rejection. They'll cut people off. You know, they'll just write you off. Don't want anything to do with you till you get it right. When all along, they need to get back in line with the Spirit. And they're argumentative. They'll argue just for the sake to argue. They don't care about your opinion. They're just going to argue. Now, every gift has a good side. Every gift has a bad side. So what's our responsibility in this, summing this up? Identify your motivational gift if you have it. Function in whatever ministry God gives you through that motivation, that specific gift. Remember, there are going to be areas that we all can be misunderstood in, no matter what our gift is. And as we go along, as we look at the other gifts, we're going to see there are weak spots, just like we saw the weak spots in the prophet. We need to pray, and we need to ask God to give us insight, understanding. Ask him to give you a love and a desire to help each other walk in the Spirit so that our gifts will be bringing forth the fruit that God wants them to bring forth when we live in the Spirit as a family. We'll see the potential begin to flow out of us, work where we're motivated, and in the area that God gives us. And it can be an exciting thing to watch as God helps us to develop these gifts in those areas. But again, the key is walking in the Spirit so we're not devastating others. What a joy it is to discover the gift that God has given you. And so you just, as you look at this gift, ask yourself, is this how I feel? You know, do I see myself here? Am I misunderstood? Is that the way I feel when I'm out of the Spirit? You know, we see these different things that we have. Now we have six more of these gifts to go. So don't say, I figured mine out. I figured out what's wrong with my husband. Figured out what's wrong with my wife. Figured out what's wrong with my kids. Well, you don't know yet, because they may not even know. The point is, don't hold back. Make your commitment to God. Tell him that you want to discover that gift that he's given you that would motivate you to do what you are, be what you should be, and live for him the way he wants. And use that gift for his glory and for his kingdom and for whatever else he wants to use you for through that motivation. Let's stand as we pray.